The Old Testament reading comes from Jeremiah 33, beginning at the 14th verse. You can find it at page 662 in the Pew Bible. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. It can be found on page 986 in the Pew Bible. What thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith? Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter. When Jesus had said these things, he went on up ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus. And throwing their cloaks on the coat, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives. The whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice, praising God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.' This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, joy, and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The season of Advent is one of anticipation. That isn't something that we Americans do that way. You could say we invented overnight shipping and Amazon just to avoid anticipation. We create kitchen appliances by the boatload to shorten our preparation time. We are the society of instant gratification. God is on the other end of the spectrum. Now, the unbelieving response to divine anticipation is that it's a slow train never coming. That God or the people who preach him are all about anticipation because the delivery of the goods is zero. We should be able to say horse hockey to that, but look at that cross and then at Easter morning. That is a delivery from sin, death, and the devil all rolled together. But God in this world is still about anticipation, which is about faith. Because we have been delivered from sin, yet we still struggle with it in this flesh. The resurrection has come, but it's only happened to one person. We await that new clothing. And the devil fell like lightning from heaven, but he still seems to have a good amount of power here over us. Deliverance of the goods is hidden enough, but it comes by faith, not by FedEx. This is why every Christian should really have a firm grasp of the Old Testament. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 that these things took place as examples for us. He was specifically talking about the Exodus, but it holds for the larger history of Israel. Because this history is our history. Israel is the Israel of faith. Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So, in the history of Israel, there are three covenants. There's the covenant mediated by Moses, the covenant of Sinai or of the law. And the good thing about this covenant is that it is immediate. When you hear the law, you are bound by the law. You also receive the Lord's promises through that law, such as it is. Do this, and you will live. It's a covenant that requires no anticipation. Go live it. Keep the law in every jot and tittle. Moses has been proclaimed in every land for many generations. The Apostle James already held that in Acts 15. There's no one that can claim ignorance of it, even if it wasn't true that the law was written on our hearts. The problem with this instant gratification covenant is that we get no gratification from the law. We think that if we keep it, somebody should rain down upon us blessings. But the problem is that in keeping the law, we've only done our duty. Awards come from going above and beyond the call of duty. There are two other covenants in the life of Israel. And these are the two that Jeremiah, the prophet, wants to tell us about. Jeremiah, the prophet of doom and lamentation, wants to remind us, though, of the grace of God. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel. So, what is that promise to the house of Israel, to the house of faith? From when God changed Jacob's name to Israel, it's in Genesis 35. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come from your own body. The land I gave to Abram and Isaac, I will give to you and to your offspring after. So there are three things in this covenant. First is the promised land. And this is a promise that God physically fulfilled in the time of Joshua. The descendants of Israel did inherit the land. God keeps his promises. Now, they would also lose it later in exile, but God created the nation and gave them the land. Second, the promise of a nation and a company of nations. The nation, singular, is the people of faith. When God gave the promise to Abram, it was that all nations would be blessed through you. We are grafted in to this nation. The company of nations, of course, would be the northern and southern kingdoms of Israel and Judah, but also there are various ancillary nations that come from Jacob. If you're interested, you can trace those various kingdoms. Again, though, God fulfilled his promise. The last promise, kings shall come from him. That one is the most interesting one today. You could just assume that it is kings as part of the nations. But remember that Jeremiah is at the final collapse of those kingdoms. The important question here is, who is the king of a nation? That singular one. Who is the king of the newly named Israel? The people of faith. This is the covenant that Jeremiah is recalling. This is the covenant of the people of faith. Not just the promised land, which can be lost, but a permanent home. Not just the nations of this world that are always rising and falling, and certainly not just this world's kings whose plans disappear the moment they die. There's always comes a king who knew not Joseph. A covenant with Israel is a home in the land of God. A people claimed and made by God himself. And a king who reigns in justice and grace. God is faithful in the lesser things, which he has been. A land and nations and kings petty. Will he not be faithful in the greater things? And it's that covenant of king that Jeremiah picks up. He's living in the ruins of David. The northern kingdom is long gone. Jeremiah, the prophet of exile, is that Judah also will fall. But God made a promise, a covenant here as well. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise that I made to the house of Judah in those days. And at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David. The lesser kings had come and failed. God had kept his promise, but there would be a greater fulfillment. And this is the promise that Jeremiah reminds Judah and Jerusalem of in that bleakest of times. Through this prophet of lamentation, he says, in those days, Judah will be saved. And Jerusalem will dwell securely. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. The covenant of David is an eternal kingdom, established in justice and peace. A righteous branch coming from a dead stump. A king for the singular nation of Israel. People of faith. And these covenants are yours. You are the heirs to these. The king has come and his righteous decree has gone out. All who believe in his name will be saved. They shall dwell securely in the land that the Father has sworn to give them. God was faithful to his promises long ago. God has always been faithful to his promises. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promises I made to the house of Israel, to the house of Judah. That's to you. Behold, the days are coming when these promises to you will be fulfilled. today, they're fulfilled by faith. We believe and it is credited to us as righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness. The Lord, our righteousness, is given to us by faith. Soon comes its fulfillment. The descendants of Jacob lost that faith. But the descendants of Israel keep it. The covenants, the promises are yours. And God keeps his promises. Don't let them go for things that will not last, just because those things come by FedEx. Amen.